Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Denver Bronco Nick Ferguson and 1043thefan.com Cecil Lannan.
Joining us on the VIP line is Hall of Fame running back Marshall Faulk. Marshall, good evening. Thanks very much for joining the show. And before we get to the Philip Lindsay versus Melvin Gordon debate, let's just talk about what the Broncos got when they went out and got Melvin Gordon on a two-year deal. What kind of a running back are the Broncos getting here, in your eyes, with Melvin Gordon?
Well, you got to think. I mean, they played against him twice a year. He's a versatile guy that he can catch the ball. And I think most noted, once they were forced to play Melvin Gordon every down, you got a chance to see what he can do. The year before the holdout, we really got a chance to see that Melvin Gordon was an every down back. I liked him at Wisconsin. He just never really got a chance to really show that he could be an every down back. In the season that he did, he just started to put up numbers. So when I look at what he brings to the table, I think it's a great 1-2 punch. If you look at the league today, you got to have more than one back. If you have one back, it has to be an Ezekiel Elliott. It has to be a guy. Like, you got to have a Christian McCaffrey. It has to be that elitist kind of back that really, really gets it done, a Saquon Barkley type of guy. And when you don't, you got to have multiple guys to get it done.
So, Marshall, how is it that two running backs who are used to being the alpha dog, the RB1, actually function in the same backfield, knowing as though there's going to be only a limited amount of carries?
Well, let me say this. So having a title RB1 and being an RB1 is two totally different things.
Okay.
You know, I describe some RB1s not in title, but in stature. Now, we're talking about an RB1 in title. RB1 in title is just, it just means you're the best back on a team. RB1 in stature means you're one of the best backs in the league. I hope, you know, I'm not talking in riddles. You know, they have the best back on a team is going to get the start, but it doesn't mean he's one of the better backs in the league that he deserved to just have the backfield to himself. They bring different things to the table. That's why they went out to get the guy.
Marshall Faulk, Hall of Fame running back, joining the show. Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. And let's talk Philip Lindsay. What kind of a fire does this light for Philip Lindsay, who's been, you know, nothing but fire the first 2 years? It seems like this could ignite it even more.
Yeah, I don't think you have to ignite a fire on the Philip Lindsay. I mean, think about the depth and where this guy came from. There's no fire need to be lit under him. He's a lunch pail type of guy. I just think they got insurance. He's an empty the pail kind of bucket type of runner.
Marshall, when you look at the devaluing of the running back position over the past couple of years, why have we continued to see this trend start to build and gain momentum?
Well, there just wasn't a lot of guys coming out of college that could fill the position. And what do? You get value at the position.
The two running back system is something that Pat Shurmur's not really yet done wholeheartedly, unless he's had to, Nick. And that's the conversation is like, okay, Shurmur's kind of a one back guy. Does he need to change his outlook and be a two back guy?
He's not going to have a choice. I mean, you already have Philip Lindsay. And then you go out and get Melvin Gordon. I mean, you are stating that by the move itself, right? I mean, with the New York Giants, it was only Saquon Barkley. They had a bevy of other guys on the depth chart, but he was the bell cow back for them. Now you have two guys, once again, who are used to getting their touches, used to getting into a flow of the game. how do you do that with both of these guys? So there's a lot of pressure that's going to be placed on Pat Shurmur to kind of not just make this offense go, show the improvement with Drew Locke, but also being able to have a nice mixture with these two backs. And that's going to be interesting to watch.
Marshall Faulk joining us, Hall of Fame running back. And I want to know, Marshall, I'm a sucker for Georgia backs. Big fan of yours dating back to San Diego State. Of course, watching you beat up on CSU and everybody else when you ran for the Aztecs. But I'm a sucker for Todd Gurley, man. What did the Falcons get in that, you know, prove it deal with Todd Gurley? If he can be healthy, can he be back to what he used to be?
And that's the question for us. You know, I hope Ty can get back to the back that we saw 2 years ago. But I think from what we saw or what we didn't see in the Super Bowl and where all the questions were, and then the lack of production last season, the Rams just had to cut ties with him. The number was too high for the lack of production.
You know, Marshall, when we look at the running back position, I talked about the running backs being devalued, but should there be a different category to, I guess, put these running backs in? Okay, running backs who run between the tackles like Derrick Henry, or should it be another separate category for the pass reception running backs like Christian McCaffrey? Should we have that separation?
I think the value of the running back has to be valued depending on your quarterback. If you have a Ryan Tannehill, then you need to pay your quarterback. I mean, you need to pay your running back. If you have an Aaron Rodgers, you might not need to pay your running back. I'm just saying. It depends on your quarterback. Your running back, if you have a certain type of quarterback, your running back really don't matter. If you have a certain type of running back, then your quarterback don't matter. Until you can prove that you can carry a team as a quarterback, you need a running back in that backfield, and that's just how it is. Now they did what they did with Ryan Tannehill. We saw Ryan Tannehill without a Derrick Henry. We know what he looked like. We know what he looked like without a running game.
He looks average.
And when they shut down the running game, we saw what he looked like without a running game. We saw it.
Marshall Faulk, Hall of Fame running back, joining us, Nick and Cecil. Marshall, my final question for you, and appreciate your time, man, and you know, appreciate talking football with you. I look at Christian McCaffrey, and I think that you, Roger Craig, and Christian McCaffrey are in the most exclusive club in the National Football League. That's the 1,000-1,000 club. What did you think when Christian got there? What did you think when you got there, man? Because that is rare air to get to the 1,000-1,000 club in the NFL.
Yeah, man. I was when I got there, I was so elated. But and let me tell you, the year before, when in 98, I was in Indianapolis, and I missed it by like 70 yards, and you just don't get that close. So to actually hit it in 99, I was like, oh my God, you never think that you're going to get there. And being a huge Roger Craig fan, although I just did not like the Niners growing up in New Orleans, being a huge Saints fan, right, I admired what he did by running and catching and blocking, being a Nebraska back. You know, that didn't even go well, the way Nebraska played football, if you remember football back in those days. But Roger Craig was the guy. And then watching Christian doing it, I have been, you know, working in TV, I have been advocating for guys. I'm like, you got to be a complete back to do it. You got to be serviceable. And when I say serviceable, I'm talking about you have to play so much. You have to be available on pass downs. You got to pass block. You got to do run fakes. You don't know when you're going to get the ball. I mean, the house call can come at any time. Short yardage and goal line. You got to do everything because you just never know. And to watch him do it, I was so happy to see somebody else join the club. And just to know that, I mean, he's a young guy. He has more years ahead of him. I think Saquon Barkley has a chance at doing it. I think Nick Chubb has a chance at doing it. There's so many young backs that have a chance at doing it. And the way that they play now, there's a lot of chance. The question is, because of the platoon system, who's going to get enough snaps to do it?
Marshall, I'll be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Since retiring, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy these days?
Well, I mean, I do a lot of different things, man. But, you know, the philanthropy side of me, outside of the business stuff, has really taken off. And joining forces with Foundation for Drug Free World, it's been a crusade. Oh my God, Nick, I can't believe you asked me that question. Hey, everybody, I can't believe. So listen, hold on, wait. We were just at the Super Bowl, and we just honored Nick. They did a painting of Nick. They did a painting. They gave him, I think they retired his jersey. We did a whole pep rally at the school. Listen. So for me, and I'm a very visible guy. I've had a lot of accolades, but Nick, for this to happen for Nick, Super Bowl in his home city, I could see the pride in his face, because you don't know when this stuff's going to happen, you know. And for it to happen to him, just a huge congratulations to him, because Nick's a part of our Drug Free World family, and I was just so happy to be there to speak to the kids at his high school and to let them know and to give them drop a little knowledge on them about what we're facing in today's world, and to do it on the stage and to kind of set the table for Nick to then go and share with them that he's a product of the same environment that they are from. And it was just so special, man, to share the stage with you, Nick. Man, that was congratulations, man. That was serious. That was huge, man. I'm glad you mentioned that. I got in the ball. But, yeah, that was huge, man. That's what I've been doing. I've been talking. I've been going around spreading the word about ridding this world of drugs, not just street, but also prescription drugs, because those drugs that your parents take to, let's say, heal their ailments when they're ill, sometimes they slip in the wrong hands, which is their kids, and they become those little fun drugs that need to be thrown away, and you know they get taken advantage of. So, you know, we're just trying to make a difference, man. We're just trying to make a difference. There's a war out here. And, you know, we're on a crusade. But, yeah, Nick, congratulations, man.
Well, appreciate it. I didn't know exactly how you were going to answer that question, but I'm glad you brought that up, drugfreeworld.org, man. I appreciate it once again joining and blessing the program. Keep doing what you're doing. And I know, you know, everyone is, on lockdown right now, especially in California, man. So you and your family definitely stay safe, and we'll get up and do some more good stuff, some good things down the road. Appreciate it.
Will do, brother. Take care, man.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.